Good? Are we on? Good morning. Good morning. My name is Pastor Leon McKenzie, and I'm the associate pastor here at Redeemer Community Church. Welcome to church this morning. Amen. I see a few first-time visitors. I'm glad to have you guys this morning. Our other pastor, Drew Henley, the white gentleman to the back, who's laughing the most, it seems. He's in Kenya. This picture was taken recently, this past week. And so Lily, Linda, Mary, and Anthony are all there as well. They're serving with Care for AIDS this week. They'll be back on Saturday. So we want to pray for them this morning, continue to keep them in our prayers for the rest of the week for their safety and their fruitfulness. Amen? Amen. So we'll pray for them this morning in our prayer for the sermon. And again, if you don't know, Care for AIDS is an organization where a young man, his mother came to him one day and said, "Hey, son, I want to prepare you for my death." And he sensed from the Lord that his calling was not to prepare for her death, but instead to prepare to preserve her life. And so he started the work of finding how to get the medication and treatment she needed to prolong her life. And that turned into this awesome and beautiful ministry that we have the opportunity to serve with here at Redeemer. Amen. Some of you guys have given. I think the giving windows are closed. No, they're not. Oh, well, there's still an opportunity to give, friends. So if you go online under the giving tab, if you go under the giving tab and you go to the drop-down menu, one of the options will be to give for the Care for AIDS mission trip. So if you still feel led to give, it's an opportunity to serve in a very, very beautiful way. We know that AIDS and HIV is an epidemic in our world, and it is, I mean, very, very, very real in Africa. Amen. We can go to the text. So this morning we're continuing in Mark. We're going to preach from, I'll preach. Prayerfully you'll listen. From Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. And as we go through, I want us to consider one question, ask ourselves one question as we go through. And is, am I pursuing Christ or comfort? Amen. Not a very easy topic this morning. It is particularly difficult for myself in preparing, and probably difficult in preaching, but we'll make it through together. So we'll read together, and then we'll pray together, and then we'll dig in. Amen. If you just give me a second to get these notes together. There's a lot of papers up here this morning. Yeah, Rachel. Get your stuff together. It's all good. I think we're all right. Amen. Amen. So, Mark chapter 8. Beginning verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord, this morning we come before you grateful that you would give us another morning, that you would give us another day. And Lord, that we can come together and worship together another week. Thank you for your kindness towards us. Thank you for keeping our friends safe as they traveled across the pond to Africa. Lord, thank you for their provision to be there. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve in loving those who are suffering with grave illness and to serve along those who've given their lives to serving. Lord God, I pray that you continue to keep our friends safe, that you would make their trip fruitful, that you would help them to love others well, that, Lord, what they would leave over there are seeds of the gospel, of the love of Christ, that there will be those who hear the gospel, who believe and are saved. Lord, that in their relative competencies, that they would train and help those who work over there and how to love and care for those who are over there well. And Lord, my prayer is that they'll come back themselves changed, having been touched by the lives they were able to encounter over there and having grown in their love and knowledge of you, Lord God. So please keep them and bless them. Be with us here this morning as we hear your word. I pray that your word would go forth, Father, with clarity and go forth with the power that only comes through you, Lord. Holy Spirit, may we hear from you. May we be challenged. And Lord, above all, may we be changed this morning. Lord, may we find true comfort in your promise of eternal life. Be with our children. Be with those who couldn't be with us this morning. And we continue to lift up the Holiday family as they continue to grieve and mourn the loss of Mother Holiday. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Currently, I am taking a class on the Gospels, and it's on Monday mornings. And this past weekend was not a very restful weekend, to say the least. And so when I woke up on Monday morning, the last thing I wanted to do was go to class. But I determined in my mind that if nothing else, I was going to earn some attendance points this morning. And so I got up, put my clothes on, made some breakfast, got out the door, got to class, opened my computer, and began to eat my breakfast in celebration of my achievement. I attended class that morning. I had no intentions of doing a whole lot else, but as the teacher was teaching, I caught about every third or fourth word that he said. And one of the words he said I didn't know, so I decided to look it up on the computer. Looked it up, thought I had a good grasp of it from the dictionary online there. I put some other words that I caught here and there from what he said together, and I thought, I think I'm doing a lot better than I expected this morning. I have an idea what he's saying. Then he asked a question, and no one else raised their hand. So I thought, why don't I overachieve this morning and gain a few participation points? So I raised my hand to answer the question. Gave what I thought was a pretty eloquent answer. And the professor just looked at me and said, well, that is correct, Leon. That's true. And then at that, everybody started raising their hand. And this guy spoke and gave an answer. It was really eloquent, really long. And the professor seemed to come alive and engage him. And then the other guy raised his hand and gave another answer. And by the end of the whole thing, I mean like 10 guys, I don't know why they didn't raise their hand first, but all these guys raised their hand, it turned to a nice long discussion, and afterwards we had a break, and I looked at my buddy and I said, I don't think I answered the right question. And he just laughed and said, it's all right, Liam, it's all right. And so this morning we're going to talk about a similar interaction between Jesus and Peter. Amen. So Jesus is going to the region of Caesarea Philippi with his apostles. And as he's on his way, he takes an opportunity to ask them, who do people say that I am? And the reason Jesus asked them this question is because Jesus has been doing a lot of really great and cool things. He's been healing all manner of disease, casting out demons. Most recently, he fed upwards of 8,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And so he's gaining a lot of popularity, a lot of fame. And as often comes with popularity and a lot of fame, there are a lot of misconceptions, a lot of rumors that are circling about who he is. And it's important for Jesus that these men who he's been pouring into, that they don't fall into these misconceptions, that they have an accurate view of who he is. So he's asking them, who do people say that I am? What are the rumors? And they respond, some say that you're Elijah, which is a prophet from the Old Testament. Some say you're John the Baptist. And he says, others just say that you're just a prophet. So Jesus looks at them and says, well, most importantly, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up as a spokesperson for the apostles, as he often does, and he says, well, you are the Messiah. Correct answer, right? However, we see really quickly that Peter didn't quite mean in his answer what Jesus meant by his question. Because after he declares Jesus to be the Messiah, Jesus begins to describe explicitly what the Messiah must accomplish. He says that as the Messiah, he will go and suffer many things at the hands of the religious elite and the political leaders of the day. And then he says that he will die, he will be killed, and he will be raised on the third day. At this, Peter decides to take the man that he just declared is the Messiah, takes him aside, and rebukes him. In other words, Peter tells Jesus, Jesus, stop speaking that foolishness. Stop speaking that nonsense. You're not going to die. That suffering, oh, that's not true. Just stop it, Jesus. And even more strange, Jesus looks back at his disciples, and he looks at Peter, and he says, get behind me, Satan, for you have in mind human concerns and not the things of God. And there are two things I want us to look at with this interaction with Peter before we move on. Two things that I think we ought to be aware of. We ought to look out for in our own lives, okay? And the first thing is, why does Peter rebuke Jesus, the Messiah? Why does he rebuke him when he speaks of his suffering and the difficult things to come? And it's because of this. You put up that first slide. It's because Peter has allowed God's good gifts to dictate God's goodness. Amen? And what I mean by that is this. Imagine you're Peter. You're following Jesus for 3 years, right? And Jesus is just doing the most amazing things you've ever seen. He's healing diseases that people have suffered with their whole lives. He's casting out demons. He's feeding thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread. You know, imagine how popular you would be if you can take one pizza pie and feed the whole neighborhood. Jesus is doing this. He's alleviating all matter of suffering. And if you consider Peter's life himself, Peter was just a nobody fisherman. And when Jesus chooses him, now he's going around, walking around with the most important person to ever walk the face of the earth. And when Jesus starts speaking about this suffering stuff, Peter goes, no. That's not the life I want to go back to. This is good, Jesus. You being here is good for me. A man could get used to this. Don't start speaking that stuff about suffering, about you leaving. I don't want to hear anything about that. And friends, often in our lives, we find the same thing. Maybe I'm only speaking to myself this morning, but this sermon hit me deep. When things are good, when the bank account is reading just enough or a little bit more than enough, when the children are all obeying, I don't have kids, but I imagine that's a beautiful thing when they obey. When marriage seems to be going well above board, better than it's been going. When the boss is being really nice, just unusually nice to you. We look to God and say, God, now this is good. Now, God, you are being good to me. But as soon as the bank account wanes just a little bit, right? A little bit more bills than there is money. Right? Soon as the kids just can't seem to listen to what you're saying. Or your wife can't seem to get it right either. Or your husband. You know? I didn't say anything. She laughed. Okay? All right? I didn't mean to get you in trouble, Jared. Okay. When these things happen, when the road gets a little rough, we're tempted to look at God and say, God, this is not good. You're not being good to me. And the reality is, friends, that God's plans for us in the difficult things as well as the good things is always the same. It's always for our good and always for his glory. And so we have to keep that in mind, no matter what the road looks like ahead, no matter how bumpy it gets. And we'll talk a little bit more about what it means to be a Christian and the road being bumpy. So the first thing, let us be aware of allowing God's good gifts to dictate in our hearts and our minds God's goodness. But the second thing, and this interaction is extremely strange, friends, because Jesus looks at Peter and he doesn't say, "Get behind me, Peter." He says, "Get behind me, Satan." And what you may assume happens here, that Jesus maybe sees in place of Peter, he sees Satan, he sees some demonic figure, and that's not what's happening. He sees Peter. But Jesus understands what's at the root of Peter's issue, what's at the root of his deception. And he understands that Peter is coming to these false conclusions about who Jesus is and what he's supposed to do because he is deceived. And he understands that Satan is the father of all deception. And friends, it doesn't matter how Peter gets there. Yes, Peter's experienced a lot of good things from Jesus. And yes, he really loves Jesus. And yes, you know, all the things. Yes, he wants there to be no more suffering. But ultimately, this idea of him not understanding who Jesus is and what Jesus is to accomplish on his behalf comes from the enemy. It is a matter of spiritual darkness and blindness. And, you got it. Good. And for a lot of us, friends, often when we have family members or coworkers or friends who just find it very difficult to believe in the biblical Jesus, when we come to conclusions that maybe Jesus was just a good man, just another prophet, not the Messiah, didn't really do the miracles, all these things, we like to say that it's just because some people are just too intellectual. Or maybe that some people, they've been so hurt by the church, their family was really oppressive with this Christian thing. And let me say to you, friends, these are valid reasons, but no matter how we get there, understand that when we are there, that is from the enemy, Satan himself. And when we seek to help our brothers and sisters, or even ourselves and our misconceptions and our fallacies about who Jesus is, we have to take up nothing else than spiritual warfare. We have to pray against the darkness of the enemy, against the blinders that Satan seeks to put on us and our friends when it comes to believing in who Jesus is. It's not just a matter of the brain. It's not just a matter of the mind. Let me help you understand something. If you think that you're smarter than your friends who don't believe, you are mistaken. By the grace of God, he has caused you to see the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ought to be in prayer for your friends to experience the same. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if this is just too hard of a sermon or I'm not preaching, but you guys are extra quiet this morning. It's fine. Let me just say, by the way, speaking of being quiet, I just feel like worship has been on another level here in terms of the music. And we're singing, and I'm hearing the most beautiful melodies. And I am like, wow, we have some singers, some worshipers here in this church. And all I want to say is, can you please lend your gifts? Amen. And sing unto the Lord up here, because I mean, it is beautiful. God bless you. And praise the Lord for worship. Thank you so much to our new worship director, Rachel. It's been beautiful. And so, friends, understand that all matter of deception comes from Satan, the father of all deceit. And so now that Jesus has called out the deception, now that Jesus has called down the spiritual blinders, now he's going to address the issue. This Peter's issue for self-preservation, for having the things of man in mind versus the things of God. And he explains to them what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the first thing he says to them is this. He says to them, if anyone would be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. In other words, he's saying to pursue Christ or to pursue me is to pursue the cross. You know, friends, the cross is the symbol of our faith, and it is a beautiful symbol of our faith. It does exemplify all that Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. But we ought not forget, friends, that the cross is the greatest symbol of self-denial. Amen. Well, I'll never forget one time one of my professors said this, and I don't think he was the first person to say it, but he's the one that said it to me first, is that why else do we take up the cross other than to be crucified on it? And what the cross symbolizes, when Jesus is telling them, hey, take up your cross, deny self, he is saying ultimately what you need to do is trade in what you think is best for yourself for what I know is best for you. Taking up your cross is saying to God, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Yeah. Taking up your cross looks like saying, God, not whatever career I want, not whatever I want to spend my money on, not whatever looks best to me on paper, not whatever person I want to date or marry, not whatever I want, but Lord, what you want. And so when we consider things, are we considering just the thing that is most comfortable for us? Are we considering the career that just makes the most money? Are we considering the things that the Lord desires to get the most glory out of in our lives? That's what it means, friends, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to follow him. And so to pursue Christ means to pursue the cross. And lastly, friends, we ought not pursue the cross without joy. We ought not pursue it in a way that's dismayed, because what Jesus tells us, he says, through the cross, we have great comfort in the hope of eternal life. Jesus tells him, he says, whoever would seek to save his life. In other words, whoever will seek to please themselves, to have their own comfort in this life, ultimately they will lose it. But whoever loses their life, whoever follows the way of self-denial, the way of the cross, they will find eternal life. And friends, often, just this idea of eternal life, often it's not the greatest motivator. Because we're living for something that right now we can't quite see. We can't quite grasp. We can't quite taste. We can't touch. Considering eternal life, it is a matter of faith, my friends. And faith, by nature, essentially, it is being sure of something that you just cannot see right this moment. And the thing about faith, friends, is often when we find ourselves lacking the belief in eternal life, and as we suffer, as we deny self now, that eventually we will inherit this eternal life, sometimes that faith just eludes us. And what we want to do is sit there and kind of muster up faith. I'm just going to refute the lies on my own. I'm just going to believe more. And friends, I want you to know that that is a fruitless pursuit. Faith is a gift, and it's one you cannot muster up on your own. The only way that we grow in faith is as we grow in our relationship to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we grow in our relationship to him by the means of grace. You know, one of the things we've been doing here, and it's been a fantastic thing, Ben has been putting on the Rule of Life class here on Sunday nights. Tonight is the last one. If you'd like to come to that one, it begins at 6:00. It is an awesome class. If you can't make it tonight, you haven't made any sense, we have all of the lessons online. And Ben, raise your hand, Ben. He can get you all the slides and such and notes so that you can follow along. But as I've been sitting through the ones I've been to, I get this illustration in my mind that Jesus is like this really pure substance, made pure water, pure oil, just something that is pure and fragrant and nourishing and refreshing. And he's at the bottom of a well. And the things that we're learning in the Rule of Life class, these rhythms of prayer, of scripture reading and meditation, community, work and rest, that building these rhythms regularly into our life is like, they're like the bucket on the rope that you let down into the well, and you get some of that pure Jesus and you drink deep. And as Ben teaches us every Sunday, these are not the means by which we are made worthy to live with Jesus. These are not the means by which God loves us more and accepts us more. These are the means by which we taste and are aware more of Him and His goodness. We are made more and more aware of the reality of the hope that we have in eternal life, and thereby we persist in this life of self-denial. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, again, if you want to learn more about that, please come check out the class. Shameless plug, right, bro? Come check us out. But these are the means. If you find in your life that you are lacking the faith to persist in this life, understand that you cannot muster it up on your own. You have to get to know Jesus better.
Yeah.
For He is the giver of our faith. And I want to end with this, friends. If you're here this morning, if you heard all this talk about eternal life and knowing Jesus, and you're saying, listen, I don't even know where to begin with any of that. I just want you to know that you are in the right place.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions about that at all, I am 100% available for you to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus, to have the hope of eternal life. What is this thing about self-denial and the cross? I'm here to talk to you. Amen. If you don't want to talk to me, you can talk to Ben, talk to Rachel, talk to anyone you saw up here worshiping. Talk to your neighbor. And neighbor, again, if you don't know, point them towards one of us. Amen. So before we go to communion, let's pray together. Lord, again, just thank you for your word. Thank you for both the encouragement and the challenge to live this life denying self so that we can have all of you, God, and so that we can experience that eternal life. Lord, we love you and we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.